book coming out in the fall. We usually talk about that. I'm sure we're going to talk about that again today because it's one you need to... Well, let me start there. Also NHL.com and ESPN. But let me start, first of all, Rob, with the book. It is not out, but does it continue to be the top of the Amazon charts? Where is it?
Yeah, every now and then when I promote it, when I tweet it, usually they get a bit of a surge. And, there's been a couple times StatShot has jumped to number one in the best-selling Amazon hockey books, and this is just pre-orders. And here's a little tip for the thrifty. If you order it through Amazon as opposed to the publisher or some other destination, right now there's a discount. They're selling it for 37% off, so that's a great deal.
Yeah, no kidding. It hasn't even come out yet, and you catch a little bit of a break. Although I hope that doesn't impact you in any way. You're okay? You're insulated from that, I hope?
Oh, absolutely. And, even if it did, it doesn't. But even if it did, I just want people to read this. And okay. I should also point out there's a Kindle version. And if you buy the book from the publisher, you actually get the Kindle version for free.
Wow. And when does it hit shelves?
Oh, very soon now, September.
Okay. So right around the corner.
Yep.
Rob, we got a lot to talk about because you've got some articles up at NHL.com and, of course, an ESPN.com article. There's been lots of activity already this week that we want to touch on. But what I want to do is kind of get you to react to the news of the day. It became official. To no one's surprise, Las Vegas becomes the 31st franchise in the NHL. But part of the announcement today came with the draft information, the expansion draft information, and the fact that the expansion draft is going to be held on the 21st of June 2017. But the rules are out there for the public to see, and you deal with the public. You put numbers out there for the public. We talk about numbers for the public. I think there's going to be a lot of intrigue and a lot of conversation leading up to the expansion draft. I think this is going to be a fun part of the talk.
Oh, sure. Everyone likes to build their fantasy hockey teams, sort of look at the rules and then figure out who their team should be protecting and then among all the available players, who they should pick. I think one of the most interesting dynamics is just the whole idea about players that have no movement clauses that they refuse to waive. Those players have to be protected, which means you might actually see some of those players being traded in situations in this coming season, in situations you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, as an author, is this something that you would look towards next year? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but next year, do you anticipate doing, some articles on this, doing mock expansion drafts or mock protection lists?
Oh, I'm sure that, once we have the protection list, I'll put together the best possible expansion draft, at least by the numbers, at least.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that over the course of the season, I'll also be mentioning the impact that some of these expansion rules have on the decisions teams have to make.
And it's also likely to be the first expansion draft that the National Hockey League's undertaken that has a strong analytical influence, that analytics are going to play a large role in the decision-making too.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, obviously back in the day when teams like Ottawa and San Jose and so on are being expanded, everything we're talking about were in their infancy. Whereas right now, I mean, Las Vegas, they have access to some great minds, some great information, and even on NHL.com itself, there's a slate of enhanced stats that's only going to be even greater by the time the draft occurs.
As we work through our conversation with Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com, we will highlight a couple of the NHL and your ESPN piece this week, but let's go back to Monday. Freddie Anderson acquired by the Toronto Maple Leafs for the 30th overall pick this year and a second-round pick next year. He's an intriguing name to me because he's a RFA goalie that many thought was out there. People in Calgary wondered if he'd end up a Flame. He ends up a Maple Leaf, immediately signs a five-year extension. What are your thoughts on Freddie Anderson, what the Maple Leafs are getting, and also your thoughts on the contract? Because I know this is one of your areas that you spend a lot of time looking at, a lot of time talking about.
Yeah, by the numbers, Frederick Anderson is a classic example of an average goalie whose numbers were boosted by outside factors, by the way he was used and the way his team performed. He's got that great win-loss percentage, but I pulled some numbers here. Over the past 3 years, over his career, he ranks 23rd by save percentage, 25th by when you adjust it for quality factors, 26th right in that home plate area. We've talked about home plate save percentage, 26th. And, you know, by most metrics you measure, it's pretty consistently in that 23rd to 26th range. So they're getting a pretty average goalie, but they're paying, I think, more than average money to lock him down. So, you know, I think it's a bit of a gamble. It's a bigger gamble than people realize.
So where's the mistake made? Why? And I know we talked about this before, Rob, and I appreciate that you're probably, you know, talking about something you've talked about in a couple of times with me, but let, you know, humor me a little bit. Where's the mistake made here? Why is he overvalued? What is it about his game that we're looking at maybe giving too much credence to?
The mistake is in, and we've talked about this, overvaluing wins and losses. Yeah. You can't measure goalies on wins and losses. Wins and losses, those are team statistics. They're dependent upon how many goals you score, just as much as how many goals you allow. And even the goals you allow can depend on how well the team plays defensively. And people put too much emphasis on wins and losses. And I think that's how a goalie like Anderson has his value inflated. And it also explains, by the way, why a great goalie like Corey Schneider has never received a Vezina vote.
The contract component to it, and you and I have had many conversations about this. I'm trying to think of the last time you were in agreement with a deal, let's say, for a goalie. I know we talked about Kai Ramos' deal last summer. Where would you have been? I mean, all things being equal, you king of the world here. What would a good deal for Freddie Anderson have been financially?
Oh, probably couldn't pick a number exactly. I mean, it's not a lot lower than $5 million. I think an average NHL goalie or someone who's a little bit better than average, yeah, he might be looking at $3-3.5 million, depending on the term and his age. But I did want to make a point here is that given the parity that we have in goaltending in the NHL, unless you've got your hands on like a Carey Price, I think the safest course of action is to save some money in nets and to pick up a couple of promising backups and go with that and then use the savings for a quality defenseman on the blue line. I think that's for all intents and purposes, I think that's a better way to go for the teams like Calgary that are looking for goaltending right now.
So, I mean, is that something that can be achieved purely in unrestricted free agency this year? Would also have to involve a trade? Because I think by now we're all pretty familiar with the names that are out there in terms of the UFA goalies, the potential UFA goalies. Is that something that you can achieve without giving up assets?
No, it's absolutely, this year at least, it's absolutely a trade is necessary. But last summer, remember, I told you all the great goalies that were available for $1 million instead of Ramo. You could have gotten Thomas Greiss. You could have gotten Michael Nwaver. There's all these great goalies that were available last summer. This year, that's not the case. You'd have to make a trade.
Talking to Rob Volman from Hockey Abstract, and hockeyabstract.com is the website. Let's take a look at two of your pieces up at NHL.com this week. One, the retirement of Pavel Datsyuk. Well, retirement, I guess, is the wrong word, as he leaves to go back to play in Russia, but he leaves the Detroit Red Wings with a year remaining on his contract. Rob, what impact could this mean for the Red Wings moving forward? Because we are talking about a player, you know, north of 35. He's not exactly in his prime.
Yeah, they've lost players before, key players before. Remember they lost Steve Yzerman. Remember they lost Nicklas Lidström. They always survived, and they always made the playoffs, 25 years in a row, whatever it is. But I think this might finally be the retirement or the loss or the departure that cost them a playoff spot. And as heretical as it sounds, what they might want to consider is, you know, reloading. You know, getting rid of their other older players like Zetterberg or Cronwall for picks and prospects and using a season, I guess you could say, to reload, to replenish the organizational strength and to rebuild the team around some of their, you know, good young stars like Dylan Larkin and Gustav Nyquist.
So something like what the San Jose Sharks did last offseason, which really, I mean, they weren't big names at the time. Martin Jones has turned into be a really good goaltender, but they got a veteran like Joel Ward. You know, they went out and they got Paul Martin and tweaked a team that wasn't in the playoffs yet. Here they make a Stanley Cup final. Is that even doable for a team like Detroit?
I don't think so. I mean, it's up for argument. This is just an opinion here. It's up for argument, but I think you have to understand just how valuable Datsyuk is. It's amazing. His scoring on the power play, for instance, I pulled this number, 6.3 points per 60 minutes, which is sixth in the NHL. So that's on the power play. He's a great power play scorer. He's a great scorer at even strength. Defensively, he may not be the best defensive forward in the league like he used to be. He won the Selke 3 years in a row, don't forget. But statistically, all the different measurements that we have put him at the top of the league. Most notably, we talk a lot about your shot base plus minus. Sometimes it's called Corsi, sometimes it's called SAT, but he was a plus 249 last year, which led the Red Wings. And on a percentage basis, Detroit, their share of on-ice shot attempts jumped from 50.6 without him, so pretty average, 50.6% without him, to 57.3 with him, which is eighth among NHL forwards. So regardless of, you know, what numbers you're using, these are just fancy ways of basically saying that Detroit is hardest to play against when Datsyuk's on the ice.
Rob, we only have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to make an editorial decision. You've got a piece up on NHL.com about the awards, which are coming up at the top of the hour. But what I wish to choose to focus on right now is your ESPN piece this week, and that's talking about best practices for NHL draft day trades. The draft is just a couple of days away. A lot of talk about how active it may be, and you wrote about it. Tell me a little bit about the column.
Yeah, this is on ESPN. I went back 10 years and I grabbed all the draft day deals. And we're just talking about deals on the draft day that involve first round picks. And so I took a look at some of the patterns and some of the best practices. And one thing is for sure, there's a few things for sure. One is if you're going to get rid of a pick, a nice early first round pick in exchange for a veteran, you better make sure that that's a prime player. Like a star top forward or top defenseman, and not sort of a spare part. And one of the examples is the Flyers. They actually picked up Steve Eminger in 2008 for the pick used on John Carlson of the Washington Capitals. And then, of course, the Senators, they actually gave up the pick used on Vladimir Tarasenko to get David Rundblad. So if you're going to give away a first-round pick, make sure you're getting a star player. And if you're going to trade up in the draft, try to get into the top 15. Because there's a real cutoff there. In the top 15, you're getting really solid NHL regulars, almost guaranteed. Whereas when you trade up lower than that point, sometimes you actually wind up with the worst player. You trade up, but you actually wound up losing the trade.
Rob, what about moving up? I get asked about this all the time. Geez, would the Flames want to move up? Yeah, I'm sure they would. It doesn't happen very often, especially in beyond the top five, into the top five, I should say.
Yeah, I only counted 7 times that it happened over the last 10 years, and I was looking at the top 15. But when you do that, it's really successful. These are all NHL regulars that got drafted. Whereas a lot of times when people trade up in the bottom 15, you know, it doesn't work out as well. I mean, the Kings one time traded up to get Derek Forward, but then the Panthers got Nick Bjugstad. Or the Ducks, they actually let Columbus trade up to grab John Moore, but then the Ducks wound up with Kyle Palmieri. So a lot of times, if you're trading up lower down the draft, you're really wasting your time.
Can you just clarify that for me? There's only been 7 total moves up in the last 10 years, or there's only been 7 total moves into the top 5 in the last 10 years?
In the top 15. So over the last 10 years, okay, only 7 times have teams traded up in the top 15. So, just less than once per year.
Okay. Rob, that's ESPN.com. You've got a lot of stuff at NHL.com. We've got the Vegas announcement. These are busy times. And, of course, StatShot comes out in September, but people can order it right now. And as you told us, if they do it at Amazon, they get a little bit of a deal.
Yeah, you'll definitely want to check that out. It's called StatShot. Just go to Amazon.com and search for it, or go to HockeyAbstract.com and click on the book. It'll take you right there. And 37% discount if you pre-order right now.
Awesome. Talk to you next week. Thanks for doing it, Rob.
You bet. See you, buddy.